I'm Megan Kamrick with news about women from around the world. This week in women's history, on March 24, 1826, Matilda Joslyn Gage is born. She was a suffragist, an activist for women's and Native American rights, and a founding member of the National Woman Suffrage Association, who was, quote, born with a hatred of oppression. Legendary filmmaker Agnès Varda, a central figure of the French New Wave, who later won the Golden Lion at the Venice Film Festival, has died. She was 90. AP reported her production company, Ciné Tamaris, confirmed her death yesterday after French media first reported the news. Varda was a fixture for years at the Cannes Film Festival, where she presented more than a dozen films from 1958 to 2018. She took part in two Cannes juries, and the festival gave her an honorary Palme d'Or, or Golden Palm, in 2015 for her life's work. Varda's films quickly became feminist landmarks, and she was a champion of women behind the camera. One of the only female filmmakers in France when she started, she led an insurgency that continued in greater numbers through her life. At the 2018 Cannes Film Festival, she helped preside over a protest for gender equality on the red carpet steps of the festival's Central Palais with 81 other women. The BBC reported that French Culture Minister Franck Riester tweeted, "Shaken, overwhelmed, bereaved. These feelings that come with the certainty that we have just lost one of the greatest artists of our time." In Saudi Arabia, three women's rights activists were released temporarily this week. The Washington Post reports this was the second round of trials of women's rights protesters, and press were not allowed at the hearings. Amnesty International and Human Rights Watch said the first hearing in mid-March included charges that appeared to be connected to the women's activism. One of the women, Loujain Al-Hathloul, became famous for defying the ban on women's driving. She and the others also sought an end to the guardianship system that requires male relatives give consent before women make major decisions. Families say the women have not had access to attorneys, and they contend they've been tortured. Saudi officials have denied the allegations. Advocates are hopeful the release of the women could be a turning point for other jailed activists. Mexico is having a Me Too moment, finally, thanks to a young activist whose tweets launched a wave of call-outs against male writers, editors, businessmen, and academics. The New York Times reports Ana G. Gonzalez, a political communications consultant, accused a young writer of having beaten and abused more than 10 women. Gonzalez said she herself was not a victim of Ersona Barona, but was speaking up for a friend. Barona has denied the accusations. Hundreds of women flooded social media with their own stories, ranging from harassment to rape. Waves of additional charges came under the hashtag #MeTooEscritores, or writers, and other accusations followed across numerous fields. Female journalists launched their own campaign under the hashtag #MeTooJournalists. However, many women were still too afraid of reprisals to name names, and Gonzalez was harassed online. But activists say they will continue the campaigns. A new exhibit at the National Portrait Gallery in Washington, D.C. focuses on the fight for women's suffrage and women in politics in the 20th century. CNN reports the show, Votes for Women, A Portrait of Persistence, includes photographic portraits, posters, and pennants. It also includes artwork by advocates and images of women who ran for president and who were imprisoned, such as Lucy Burns, who went to jail six times. It also explores the racial tensions in the movement and how women of color were often excluded from the conversations and actions. National Portrait Gallery director Kim Saget said the sisterhood has always been fraught and discrimination existed within the women's suffrage movement. She said, quote, "This exhibition tries to take on the messy side of that history." The exhibit is up through January 5th, 2020. This week, NASA canceled plans for the first all-female spacewalk. The BBC reported there were not enough space suits configured to fit the two women scheduled to do the walk, so only one, Anne McClain, could go, and a male astronaut replaced the other, Christina Koch. At issue are space suits and how they're often designed for men's larger torsos. Only one medium-sized space suit could be made ready in time for the walk. The BBC reports many women working in scientific fields face this dilemma, which is also a safety issue. Jessica Mounts, a biologist, asked how we can make strides towards equal representation if we don't provide women the equipment they need to do their jobs safely. Her posts on Twitter brought numerous other stories from women. A biostatistician couldn't find goggles that fit properly while working with dangerous chemicals. A biologist could not get steel-capped boots for her field work. A neuroscientist passed out from over overheating because the only surgical gown available was made for a 6-foot-tall man. She had to wrap it around herself 3 times. Feminist journalist and author Caroline Criado Perez said to the BBC, quote, "We don't collect data on women and therefore we don't design things for women." For the first time, a state's National Guard command staff is entirely female. The Maryland National Guard's 4 top leaders are all women, and 3 are African American. Major General Linda L. Singh has been the highest-ranking commander of the state's military since 2015. She's the first African American and first woman to serve as Adjutant General for the Maryland Guard. In June, Brigadier General Janine Burkhead took over as Assistant Adjutant General for the Army, and in August, Brigadier General April Vogel began serving as Assistant Adjutant General for Air. Then, in December, Command Sergeant Major Perlissa Wilson became Senior Enlisted Advisor for Maryland's National Guard. Singh says it wasn't intentional. She just wanted the most qualified candidates available. And North Dakota's male-dominated legislature is considering a resolution to nullify its 1975 support for the Equal Rights Amendment. It's a move seen as offsetting revived efforts nationally to enshrine the nearly half-century-old measure in the U.S. Constitution. The resolution is sponsored by 7 male Republican lawmakers. It says Congress's deadline for ratification of the Gender Equality Amendment passed 40 years ago and is no longer valid. The resolution already has passed the House and is awaiting action in the Senate. And in New Mexico news, this week, Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham signed legislation that changes the way people younger than 18 are treated when they're accused of prostitution. House Bill 56 amends the Children's Code so that young people would not be subject to punishment, but rather provided treatment and services. KUNM reported on the bill earlier this year, which is designed to ensure that police are not arresting children for being sexually exploited. Rather, law enforcement can now take young people into protective custody if they suspect they're victims of human trafficking. For Women's Focus, I'm Megan Kamrick.